Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivar Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Bolo Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnupad Brahman Parivaraja Jagacharya Stotra Srishmadish Divine Grace Abhachanar in the Bhakti Vedanta Swami Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananda Koti Vaishnava in the Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki All those assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glorious assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Naino Ragnya Prajabhartu Dharma Yudhe Vadaha Dvisham Iti Me Na Tu Bodhaya Kalpate Shashanam Vachaha Naino Ragnya Prajabhartur Dharma Yudhe Vadho Dvisham Iti menatu bodhaya kalpate shashanam vachaha naino rajnya prajabhartur dharma yuddhe vadho dvisham iti menatu bodhaya kalpate shashanam vachaha naino rajnya prajabhartur Dharme yuddhe vadho dvisham iti menatu bodhaya kalpate shashanam vachaha Rainoratnya prajabhartur Dharma yuddhe vadho dvisham iti menatu bodhaya Kalpate Sashanam Vachaha Naino Radnya Prajabhartur Varma Yudhe Dvajo Visham Dimenatu Bodhaya Kalpate Sashanam Vachaha Naino Radnya Prajabhartur Dharma yuddhe vadho dvisham Timenatu bodhaya Kalpate shashanam vachaha Na, never Enaha, since Rajnya of the king Prajabhartur Of one who is engaged In the maintenance of the citizens Dharma, for the right cause. Yudhe, in the fight. Vadaha, killing. Dvisham, of the enemies. Iti, all these. Me, for me. Na, never. Tu, but. Bodhaya, for satisfaction. Kalpate, they are meant for administration. Shashanam, injunction, vachaha, words of. Translation purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens. But this injunction is not applicable to me. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthir thought that although he was not actually involved in the administration of the kingdom, which was being carried on well by Duryodhana without harm to the citizens, he caused the killing of so many living beings only for his personal gain of the kingdom from the hands of Duryodhana. The killing was committed not in the course of administration, but for the sake of self-aggrandizement. And as such, he thought himself responsible for all the sins. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. There is no sin for a king who kills for the right cause, who is engaged in maintaining his citizens. But this injunction is not applicable to me. This is Canto 1, Chapter 8. Text number 50, prayers by Queen Kunti. Srimad Bhagavatam continues to build the condition souls in terms of its very high stakes and standards which it sets as the level of achievement in pure devotion. This verse and the previous verses and the subsequent verses are the lamentation, the manifestation of the melancholy, sad, grieving heart of Maharaj Yudhishthir, who is expressing himself with very powerful emotions, which clinically look like a person who is depressed. Person who is demotivated, uninterested, doesn't get activated in doing his routine work, he's always sad, talks negative. These are signs of clinical depression, right? Why would Vyasdev and Shuddha Goswami mention about there is enough depressed people in the world? Why would Vyasdev use his pen and waste the time of a dying person talking about depressed people? doesn't make any logical sense. And that in the very first canto, when he's just beginning, he should be talking something more interesting. This shloka and this particular section is giving us a peep. Like Prabhupada says,
these paintings which have been made by the BBT artists, Janaki Mataji, Parikshit Prabhu, Yogeshwar Prabhu, etc., and so many of these exalted Vaishnavas, they made these paintings to get a peep, they are windows to the spiritual world, right? And it's true, all of us have grown in Krishna consciousness to some extent or the other by relishing these photographs and feeling Krishna more than you would have otherwise if the paintings were not there. So it is truly an acclaimed work of art the school of bhakti has provided to the world to see Krishna more visually relevant and connect to him through these pictures. Similarly, these verses are a window or a peep into the heart of a pure-hearted Vaishnava. You would not know what is in the heart of a pure devotee. How would we know? It is guhyam. The heart of a pure devotee is very guhyam, because one of the qualities they have is grave. Prabhupada was sitting there and looked very apparently on his face sad. And one of the disciples had this guts to ask, Prabhupada, you looked very sad. Prabhupada said, you do not know the ways of ecstasy. So what looks like sad externally is ecstasy. A pure devotee is never sad for himself. So we are peeping into the heart of a pure Vaishnava. And we are seeing that actually Vishnu Maharaj is expressing complete disinterest in becoming the king. Complete disinterest. Because he is overburdened. Before he can take the burden of the crown on his head, which all leaders have to go through, you have to wear some sort of crown of some designation, position, something you have to carry on your head. The designation also is like a crown, which weighs on you. But you have to be the king of the world. It's a heavy, heavy, heavy designation. But before you can carry that load, is another load which he's not able to really get off his head, and that is the load of the feeling of responsibility for being instrumental in the massacre of what is called the 64 crores of people in just 18 days. That must be a significant part of the percentage of the population of the world, I'm sure. It must be some good percentage. We don't know what number of percentage it was. We have 8 billion today, but we don't know what was there that time. But it is a significant number in terms of the slaughter of, in just 18 days, more than any pandemic can cause, more than any disease can cause, more than anything else can cause. We cannot wipe out so many people, you know, in just such a short time. So, here is one person who is simply lamenting that it's all because of wanting to put me on the throne that this had to be done. And that is an unpardonable grief, an unquenchable melancholy, which is not getting resolved even after the biggest counselors have. In your sad, you usually take for counseling, right? One of the things nowadays is growing need of the people to need counseling. Before they go to a psychiatrist, they may go to a psychologist. Because psychiatrist means lifelong medicine of antidepressants or sedatives or whatever. But you go to a psychologist, probably who will help you to deal with your own mind a little more effectively. Depression, anxiety being almost 1/4 of the population suffering from it in US, 12% in India. It's a major part of mental ill health of the world. In fact, the budget has now sanctioned, NIMHANS is going to do some, open some mental centers of care in many parts, with the nodal center being NIMHANS, Bangalore. So we are aware that this is a rising need, and therefore here is Yudhishthira Maharaj, who is being counseled by the Supreme Counselor. The Supreme Counselor is Krishna. So Krishna is counseling him that it is my desire. You have acted as my instrument. It is I who had actually empowered all of you to do this. But he is ineffective. Vyasdev, unlimited source of knowledge, wisdom, he's ineffective. Right? So Yudhishthira Maharaj is not really, really able to give up this. What does it really bring us into? What is being driven here? What is there in store for us to learn? That we should become depressed when things go like this. Now, what it is to understand is how a pure devotee is exhausted, completely exhausted, his tendency to blame others. He has given up what is a very typical feature of material consciousness, which affects all of us so strongly, that immediately when things get reversed, the mind starts searching for somebody to, you know, blame. Because of you, because of him, because of her, because of them, because of the weather, because of the politicians, because of Navagrahas, because of Shani, because of Ketu. We have to blame somebody, right? If you are an astrologer oriented person, then you will blame the astrological stars. Something you will say, you know. So you have to really find out somebody or some cause which gives you. And why do we do that? What is the psychological need for doing that? It's a need. Because it relieves you of the burden of feeling responsible. It's because of him. It was all these guys are like that, you know. I am. So it relieves a false ego from taking this brunt and burden of having to deal with the fact that it should be because of me. The moment I tell you it's because of you, that means my false ego is relieved. Right? So they call it the blame game. It's a game. Right? And it's a game. And it's the commonest game in the world today to just keep blaming somebody for all the wrongs. And it is absolutely the commonest activity of the materialistic consciousness. Because he's always suffering. He's always in anxiety. Over the, you know, we know that Kali Yuga symptoms is anxiety, right? But he has to blame somebody else for that. Now, the Bhagavatam is such a scripture, it bewilders us completely because it is diagonally opposite to material consciousness. As Prabhupada says, material sense identification and Krishna will go to ill together. So, how is it that first canto onwards till the 10th canto? Here is a person who has been cursed to die in 7 days. He knows who the person is. He has been known. He knows his father. He knows his address. He knows everything about him. He knows his whereabouts. And he's the king of the planet. Right? And yet, he does not hold him responsible for his imminent death situation. Yeah, you know, you have cursed me to die in 7 days. So you are the cause of my imminent death. But you know, he sees something beyond the surface. That is what seems to be the most difficult thing, and something which the learning point is how to look beyond the surface. Prabhupada used to say sometimes, do not blame the giver of your karma. Distributor. Instrument. Do not blame the instrument of your karma. Right? So you want to blame somebody, this guy has slapped me, this guy has offended me, he is this like that to me. So he is, you know, he's a problem, he's like this, he's a rascal. Right? So then, but we don't know, Baba, that you had the guy who did it and he just happened to be chosen by providence to give it back to you. Right? What goes around comes back to you. So how is it that Parikshit Maharaj is able to immediately not feel that Sringi is the cause of his death, imminent death, and sees that, yes, this is the will of the Lord. So there is absolutely no blaming taking place here. And even more, I would not say dramatic, but even more unbelievable is when Kamsa is killing serially, not killing, murdering Navjat Shishu, young, born, fresh, few hours old, was born. They haven't seen the light of days because they're in a dungeon jail, so they don't know what is sunlight or so. They're not seen what is what. The baby just had 1 feet from the mother, right? And they're just born, just had a loud cry, that's all. They haven't seen life still. And they're smashed against a rock. Now what can be more traumatic to even think about and read about and listen to? Not one, but it goes on like this. And after 6 children are murdered in front of their own parents, Kamsa, when he tries to kill Krishna, who is now of course transferred somewhere else, and the girl has come, and he takes, okay, boy or girl, I don't care, you know, because this is like too much for me. The prophecy and the Akashvani is, I just cannot forget this. So, boy or girl, I do not know what it is, the prophecy may be wrong, but he has to die, she has to die now. He takes her and smashes her against the same rock, and she flows up from his hand and said, rascal, nonsense, you come, sir. The child who was supposed to kill is already transferred somewhere else. Do not do this to your sister. Right? And suddenly find a dramatic change in Kamsa's attitude. Here is the most cruel guy ever the world has seen. Right? There's probably nobody more cruel than Kamsa. And here he goes into a state of complete repentance. And you have like, you know, philosophical, exaltation coming out from Kamsa's, treacherous heart. There's a lot of philosophy there. About the karma and who has the right to live and who has the right to die and how we are not in control. And I mean, all sorts of things he's saying. And Vasudev and Devaki, you may call them naive or gullible or vulnerable on one platform. Well, another platform is that they are just such nice people. They're just so exalted in their nature that they actually believe that Kamsa is truly repenting. They believe. They know Kamsa very well. How he was about to kill her, holding her hair and about to kill her in the first few hours of marriage. They believe him and they actually forgive him. They actually forgive him. And they say, Kamsa, it's all right. They tell Kamsa, it's all right. It's like he's saying that, it's all right. It happens. You are not. So again, they are not looking at the surface. How is this possible? How is this ever possible? And that bewilders, students of bhakti like us. Is this what is pure devotion? Then this looks even more further away than ever before. If this is what is pure devotion, then this makes even pure devotion so, so far away to ever reach in some distant lifetime. Right? This is what a pure devotee is. Before the 10th canto comes the 9th canto. Again, Ambarish Maharaj gives another shocking pastime. And he has not done anything, right? You can see this here. They have not done anything to deserve this. Parikshit Maharaj, well, there was some problem with him. He did something which is a little off. Of course, as a king, he had a right to get welcomed with sweet words and a seat and a glass of water. And, he's the king of the planet. Even the ordinary Nagar Sevak comes, Nagar Sevaks are like small guys, the whole day, Nagar Sevak, some corporator. These are all, all small-time people. I'm a corporator. You give him some welcome and you give him a seat, Mahaprasad, this, that, and the president will come and receive him and put him a garland of Mahagaland of the Lord and make him feel that, okay, I think your temple is good. He has to certify because, certify that temple is good because see how you're welcoming a corporator. What is a corporator? He is just some gully, just some small little area, maybe 2-3 kilometers in diameter. Right? King of the world. How much more is worthy? If he doesn't get that, he's bound to get upset.
legitimate. Right? And yet, if you look at it very more microscopically, we'll say, okay, you should not have them put that snake around him. But Devi Vasudev, no fault of theirs. Ambarish Maharaj, he was doing this for his praja. He was not doing for himself. The Ekadashi Vrat was for the praja. He didn't care. He was already absorbed in, Sayamana Krishna Padara Vindayor. His mind was always absorbed in Krishna. He didn't need to do anything beyond that. But as a pious king, as a Rajarshi, he had to do something for his praja as well. And then when Ekadashi Vrat is to be broken after the entire year, right? And his guest has not come still. So what's he supposed to do? He supposed to went to take his bath. He didn't come back. So it is his problem. He was late. Then he consults and said, okay, take some water. And look at the disproportionate amount of anger of a yogi. Disproportionate. You flare up for such a small thing, and you flare up, you may shout, you may scream, you may yell, you may do, speak some wild words. But you pull your hair off and you say some mantras and create a demon which can devour. What is this going on here? And after all this disproportionate exhibition of anger and hate, animosity, Amrit Maharaj just stands like this. He doesn't feel that he should retaliate. Is it not bewildering? It is very bewildering. Right? And he's a Kshatriya, not a Brahmana. Please, let's understand. Parishimara is a Kshatriya. Vasudeva is a Kshatriya. These are all Kshatriya examples. Bhagavatam is full of more Kshatriya examples than Brahmana examples. If Brahmana is only okay, he's a little softy fellow. He has no muscles, nothing. He has no arms, no army. Kshatriya has got, he can invoke. He can immediately start doing something. Right? He can invoke some Brahma. So something he can do. Marobi Rakhobi Joy Chatohar. Nityadasa Pratitva Adhikar. This is the mood. So, this lamentation of Yudhishthira Maharaj is arising from a heart which has become truly very, very soft. This is when you become soft in the soil of your heart. Is so soft, then that soil, the heart is like a soil. From that soil erupts such plants, such, not weeds. Weeds don't grow in a soft heart. Only when there is contamination, weeds grow. So no more weeds are going to grow now. It's a completely purified heart. Soft. Beautiful plants grow. Especially the plants of forgiveness, of empathy and compassion. These are the most beautiful flowers growing in the heart, in the garden which we are trying to cultivate within our own consciousness. We just finished reading the previous chapter, Son of Drona Pranisht, right? And there where we were introduced to the topic of forgiveness of an exalted lady, very exalted pure devotee of Krishna, Draupadi. Right? Again, same thing. Her sons have been killed without any battle, without any, for no reason, in one sense. They were not killed, totally unfair, in the middle of the night when they were exhausted, they were butchered. Literally not killed, they were butchered. Right? In a very, very unceremonious way. And Draupadi is able to forgive them. Right? So there, that particular chapter introduces us to the subject of forgiveness as a very beautiful virtue growing in the heart of a pure devotee. And this chapter goes further in showing us the level of what you call as empathy. Empathy, it means, which is a very beautiful, what you call the hallmark, like you have gold. There's gold as a hallmark. And anything which looks outside is not. So there is a particular hallmark when you buy really the highest quality gold. Right? So the hallmark here is somebody who has developed so much empathy. His heart is crying. Yudhishthira Maharaj is actually crying piteously for he feels the suffering of all those ladies who lost their husbands.
All those children who lost their father, right? And all that massacre and amount of social devastation which was caused by this upheaval, complete social upheaval, destruction of economy, destruction of families, destruction of family traditions, destruction of dharma. So much was done. So much of he feels responsible and he cries. Only a soft heart can feel other people's feelings. Generally, why don't we feel like this? Why don't we cry when other people's... Why we are not paradukha-dukhi? Because the heart is hard.
Vasurahiya Vashanadiya.
Right? Vasudev Ghosh is crying. Like how we should be crying. What kind of heart might all you have given me? My hiya, my heart, is pashana. Is a stone. In place of a heart, a soft heart, you have placed a stone there, my dear Lord, that I just cannot feel anything for you. Hard heart. Typically speaking, selfishness, envy and pride, they are hard, they make the heart hard. They're heart hardeners, you can say. You know, like when you're cooking, you have soft, you put things, you make things soft. If you're making a dough, you put some softeners. I think sometimes they put soda. You know, the ladies will know, not, I don't know cooking. They put soda sometimes so it becomes soft, right? Or you knead it too much. So, it puts, so there are some softeners are there. A little more oil. Otherwise you make a dough and make a dough and then the oil is a little less. Then the chapati, the bhakri becomes a little hard. A little bit of oil you put, it becomes soft. Right? So there are dough softeners, whatever. Right? But there are hard hardeners. Hard hardeners are envy, pride, and selfishness. Imagine Hitler is able to kill so many people. What kind of a heart must be lying in the chest of Hitler? Right? That he can kill millions. And this is historically something which has we have seen just less than 100 years ago. How many Jews were killed? Again, for no reason, just because they happened to have a different tag of a religion which was different than what he thought was the best thing that should be in the world. Killed. Right? In South India we have heard horrible stories of, you know, those who practice the Hindu faith by envious Yavanas, right? Being standing in the line, thousands of them, and beheaded. Beheaded. What for? Somebody comes for a religious prayer in a nice little garden, and the Britisher is saying, kill them all. Kill them all. Right? He's called Lord. What kind of a Lord is he? Right? He just... and how the Indians might have felt, Indian soldiers who were shooting that time, they're killing their own brothers. But they were helpless. And people who are just coming for an innocent prayer meeting, praying to the Lord, they're just massacred. Children, old people, mothers, just massacred. What kind of history has shown us such horrible examples of what happens? The heart becomes hard. It stops. We can only feel selfish emotions. What makes me feel good is the right thing to do. It has to make me feel good. My name will be glorified by the Queen of England. She will crown me because I have killed so many Indians. Right? It's only pure selfishness. And it is surprising when you take this logic ahead that even devotees can react like this. And then you come to the example of somebody as exalted as Indra.
who sent clouds of destruction. The clouds will give rain. Clouds are good. Clouds are very nice because they give rain. They give life. Rain gives life to plantations, vegetations, it's life. But there are rains of destruction, which are required at the time of Pralaya. Those rains are sent on a small little village of Chaurasi Kos, right? To be drowned. How many cows? There were asankhya cows. Sridhar Goswami tells us. Kill all of them? Asankhya gopas. Kill all of them? Gopis, there's no number. Asankhya gopis, kill all of them? Kill Krishna? Complete. Destroy the abode of Vrindavan? This was being done by the evious plot of Indra. So that doesn't make us hate Indra, but makes us hate that content which makes him do those things. And that is what envy and selfishness can do to a person. How, whether it inhabits the heart of Hitler or Indra, that is itself the demon within. And nobody seems to be spared unless we reach that stage what we are talking about, pure devotion. Only a pure devotee by Krishna's grace is able to eliminate these heart hardeners. And if we find a soft heart cries for others, laments for others. So Prabhupada is sitting all alone, we know, at Shantipur, in the back of the temple, and he's shedding torrents of tears. Now, as sometimes Maharaj says, what is the value of the tear of a pure devotee? And regular people like you and me can cry for no rhyme or reason. For a small thing, we can start crying. Right? Or a good actor, actress can cry because it gives them money. Right? They can just say, oh, they can start crying. But when a pure devotee sheds tears from his eyes, they're not coming from his eyes. They're coming from his heart. So here is a person who has not gone to America, not gone to Europe, not gone to Australia, not gone to London, not nowhere he has gone. And he is crying, perceiving the pain they are having of having the burden of material existence and suffering through this Sarvira Charunanam existence. Trying to get pleasure out of dead matter and suffering constantly because of that. That pain which they are perceiving is being felt by Prabhupada. And he is crying for them. And then he comes to Boston Harbor and he sees actually the skyline of Boston. His heart erupts into emotions of compassion. It's a volcanic compassion coming out from his heart. Forgiveness, empathy, compassion. Three hallmarks of a softened heart. And there he writes, he sings that song of compassion. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where does this come from? Where does compassion from pure devotee in the pure heart come from? It comes from the Lord. Because the Lord's heart and the pure devotee's heart become one. The same emotions which Krishna feels in his heart is the same emotions that the pure devotee feels in his heart. At the heart level, the pure devotee and Krishna become totally one. It is so difficult to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the source of that compassion, he is called Mahavadane Avatar, so we must talk about him. Because he is the source of unlimited compassion for Jivatmas. He is a very fountainhead of compassion. They said he's called as Data Shiromani. One of the names of the law of Mahaprabhu is Data Shiromani. Right? Of all givers, many people give,
clothes and food and this and that, and philanthropy. It's very, very, very nice. So the heart is eager to serve, right? But Data Shiromani, who is the highest giver, Shiromani is the jewel in the crown. Data Shiromani is called Chaitanya. So imagine what is Mahaprabhu's love for Vishnu Priya? What is Nimai's love for Sachi Mata? What is Nimai Pandit's love for Radhar Pandit? What is love for Mukunda? What is love for Advaita Acharya, whom he worships as good as his guru? Right? What is love for his dear friend Murari Gupta? And what is his love for Nityananda Prabhu more than anybody else? Who's like a self-same body, you know. And all of them together are saying to Mahaprabhu, do not take sannyas. Not one. All of them together are telling him. And how? And to top it all of all, his Srivas himself is saying. So what will you do to take when you take sannyas? He says, I'm going to take sannyas and to bring love of the treasure of love of God back to all of you. I'm going to find the treasure of love of God. So Sakura is saying, is there love of God? What are you talking about? You go and take the treasure of God and bring, you come back. You know what will happen? For Sachi Mata will die. Right? And looking at her, Nityananda Prabhu will die. And the seed of people who will die, and I will die. Whom will you give love of God to? There are no takers here. Just a land of dead people in Navadvip. But Mahaprabhu's compassion is so overwhelming that he actually takes this irresistible step of not getting held back by the anchors of the love of his most intimate associates. Because the floodgate of compassion coming from his heart is like a dam which has burst open. If you have a dam, right, and it bursts open, what happens? The water just gushes out in full force and floods anything and everything around. Right? Cities and cities and cities can get, completely drowned. That is a dam which has burst now in Mahaprabhu's heart. And nobody and no one in the world can hold him back. And he actually starts running towards Katwa. Running. He's not walking. He's running towards Katwa. And he says, you give me sannyas. He practically demands Kesha Goswami, you give me sannyas. So you are a young boy. Go and take permission from your wife. Go and take permission from your mother. If they give you NOC, then I will give you. Said, life is very short, Kesha Kashmiri, Kesha Bharati. I don't know that I'll live for the next day. Please don't delay. And he urges him, begs him, pleads him, give me sannyas. And everyone in the town of Katwa are crying piteously. And, someone has to cut his hair, right? The barber is called, Madhushir is called. And he has cut so many people's hair. It's a regular job for him. Tuck, 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 tuck. Finish. But he is holding a scissor and he cannot cut a single strand of hair from Mahaprabhu. So how can I cut his hair? For him, he has seen so many people's scalps and felt so many people's head. Right? So these hair are not to be cut. They are worshipable by Brahma and Shiva. He cannot cut his hair. So the whole city is, the whole towns people are crying, rolling in the ground, wailing, beating their chest. And they are threatening Kesava Bharati. If you really give sannyas to this boy, we will destroy you and your ashram and throw it in the Ganga. And there is a big problem here. It is not a small thing. Kesava Bharati Maharaj is aware that there could be a, civil war here practically. So again, all these odds. So Mahaprabhu is so eager. So eager. To give this compassion which he has brought to the whole world. And because it is so melancholy at that time, so only people had come for a sannyas ceremony. It was not a public affair. It's a very, very private affair. Mukunda, Sri Advaita Acharya, for Nityan Prabhu, and Chandrasekhara Acharya. Yeah, only four people were there from his intimate circles. Nobody else was there. And he tells Mukunda, you sing the song, sing Harinam. And Mukunda starts singing Kirtan. And during Kirtan, it becomes so ecstatic that everyone actually, because Mukunda is such a wonderful singer, so he just transforms the whole atmosphere of pain and, you know, into a state of exalted emotions because of Harinam. Everyone's heart gets lifted up with Harinam. And when that's happening, then he tells the barber, cut my hair. Now, everyone is like, everyone is in a different mood. Cut my hair now. Come on, cut my hair. Cut my hair. And he cuts his hair. And each strand is falling to the ground. People are, the reality is striking them that it's actually happening. And the Lord starts running. Right? So that compassion, the source of all the compassion in this world is Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And it is so powerful, it does not just affect human beings, which itself is such a great thing. It affects animals, affects birds, affects trees and creepers, affects ferocious animals like tigers and wild Bengali elephants. Right? So this is the compassion. This is the power of compassion. And that compassion is residing in the heart of a pure devotee. The device of Prabhupada could really transform wild people, like people living in Jharkhand, almost animalistic existence. He could transform those type of people to Vaishnavas. Making the deer and the tiger come together, embracing one another, is a feat that the world has never seen before. It doesn't happen. It's not the entire material. But it is the same compassion that the Lord invests in the heart of His pure devotee. And therefore, they become deeply, deeply, deeply para-dukha-dukhi. Yudhishthira Maharaj has become very much para-dukha-dukhi. Right? So, if we even dare to introspect our heart, if we dare to do that, we can see where are we, where close are we, or how far are we from this state of consciousness. Of course, we never think we will ever achieve this. We can never achieve this. But we can achieve something very similar to this. And that is to become instruments of such compassionate people. We will never think that we will be so purified in our hearts to become so soft that we will cry for the world suffering. We will not become like that. But knowing that Prabhupada cries for the world, knowing that the pure devotee and the parampara acharyas are crying for the world's upliftment, we can connect to them from within our heart. And whenever we go out and do welfare work, uplifting others, we can think and we should think that we are only acting. And if we are successful, it's not because my heart is overflowing with compassion. There's no question. It's only acting because their compassion is so powerful that it can even, like even if you are a bad conductor of electricity, but it is very powerful and still can conduct. So even though I'm a bad conductor of compassion, it's still somehow acting through me. That is the power of compassion, that it can act even through somebody like me. So this is what we are being asked to live by. This is what this particular sloka is bringing us to. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a person who is personification of na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam vajanshi. He is a personification of this verse. He does not want the dhanam of this world. Does not want any number of followers. How many followers a king like him has? The whole world follows him. He doesn't want all of them. How much exaltation, glorification will take place when he becomes a king? That is, when he gets up in the morning, there will be people who are coming to wake him up. Right? With choice prayers and poems and poetry. He doesn't want any of these things at all. So like Maharaj says, now the world needs leaders. I think Bhakti Chandra Maharaj used to say, ISKCON needs leaders among those type of people who do not want to become leaders. This is what it is. He said, he's a leader, but he doesn't want to take the seat of a leader. Right? He's a leader by qualification, not a leader by post. Most people in the world are leaders by the post they get. But here's a person who is a leader by his guna. So as we proceed in our sadhana bhakti, we are hoping and praying that these very, very special virtues at least find a seat of appreciation within our hearts. It will begin to appreciate that this is worthy. And when we see this in other people who are having that, we worship them. We worship Prabhupada every day because he has this compassion. We worship the Parampara Acharya because they have this. By worshipping them with the heart of gratitude, a few sparks, like when Prabhupada was in New Vrindavan, and Radhanath Maharaj had made those rasgullas in those very special katoris made of silver. And then Prabhupada just suddenly walked into the New Vrindavan arena up there where Maharaj was serving at Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Nath's altar. And nobody was there around. And then Harbhadatma, he just brought and said, Prabhupada is here. Is there any Mahaprasad here? So they had not attained Mahaprasad, maybe did not reach in time. So all that he had was the Mahaprasad of the Lord directly, which is just an offering. So he just brought these katoris to him, and then they gave these katoris to the disciples. And he gave it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada took it. And as he bit into the rasgulla, sprang the chasni from that rasgulla, just sprang on everybody around. Prabhupada did a mystical thing. You know, any amount of rasgulla, however soft they are, it is not that things spring out of that. It can be very juicy, but you will not have any. But Prabhupada could do that. He could bite into the rasgulla and create a splash. And everyone was around looking at it, and they just got splashed by the sugar syrup. That's how Prabhupada gave his Mahaprasad to everybody. So by remaining very close to Prabhupada within our heart, by worshipping him, we may get splashed a little bit by those drops of mercy. And that splash will make us do things which we expect to do as his sincere followers. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.